I want to read a passage from 2 Timothy tonight. I'll begin reading with the 3rd chapter and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now that's reading from verse 16 of the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, continuing through verse 4 of the 4th chapter. And I want to talk a little tonight about the Word. Just talk about the Word. He said, preach the Word. And that's all we have to preach. I'm a fellow that ordinarily uses quite a little scripture in my messages. And I have scriptural background for that because God's Word says, preach the Word. And I endeavor to do that. But why preach the Word? He begins by saying all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This Word of God is God's message to us. Now I accept the Holy Scriptures as divinely inspired. And so directly divinely inspired that it's all to me the same as if God Himself wrote the Bible. God didn't write the Bible. He had men to write it. But the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I believe that it's all the same as though God just had a hold of the hand of the writer guiding his hand while the characters were being formed. And it's all the same to me as though God wrote it himself. And I believe that the Holy Scriptures are God's message to you and me. Therefore, he said it is profitable. God's Word is the most profitable thing that you and I could lend ourselves to, and that we could pursue. We couldn't read anything that would be more profitable to us than God's Word. And we couldn't listen to anything that would bless our lives more than God's Word. In God's Word is instruction for every detail of our lives. I doubt if you could find any little detail in life that you need any instruction in, but what you'd find some instruction in God's Word that'd handle that. When you're perplexed, go to God's Word. And when you need divine guidance, go to God's Word. When you need the solution to any problem, go to God's Word. It's there. You'll find it. How many times have we heard and read testimonies of people? And right in this meeting house, we've heard this kind of testimonies from different people that they were up against some situation and they were looking to God to guide them. And they just went to the Bible and sought God. Now I'm going to open the Bible and you help me to open it to the right place. And they would open it, and right before them would be the answer to their problem. It's there, folks. We need to learn to make use of God's Word. And to give ourselves wholly to it. Paul instructed Timothy in one place. He said, give thyself wholly to these things that thy profiting may appear unto all. Folks, if we will diligently give ourselves to God's Word and the principles of truth contained therein, our profiting will be evidenced. People can see the profit. People can see the growth, the development that we're making in the things of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and the God that gave the Scriptures knows you and me. He made us. He knows what makes us tick. He understands how our minds work and how our hearts are and how human nature reacts and responds to certain things. God knows all of that. And He has given in His Holy Scriptures, divinely inspired Word of God, instructions that will meet every need of the human life. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And God's grace fits His truth just like the glove fits to the fingers on the hand. And every instruction in God's Word, He sends grace right along to enable us to profit by that instruction and to receive help from it. Now He said it is profitable for doctrine. To many, doctrine isn't a very interesting thing. And when we read, we'll read other things besides doctrine. But to me, doctrine is a very important thing and a very interesting thing. And I enjoy reading doctrine. I enjoy discussing doctrine. And right doctrine is a right guide to our lives. And the church of God is founded on it. It says you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, that doesn't mean we're built on those men and on Jesus Christ as a man, but we're built upon their teachings, their doctrine. That's the foundation of our faith. And the Word of God contains lots of doctrine. And it's important to us, and it is profitable to us to understand the doctrine of God. It is also profitable for reproof. We don't like that, do we? Does anybody like reproof? Well, there's somebody who says if it's profitable, well, he likes it. Well, I have a little idea like this, that when God speaks to your soul, it's a blessing. There's inspiration in it, even if he's rebuking you. Just to have God speak to you. It's profitable for reproof, for correction. Well, not many folks like that either, do they? And not many folks like to be corrected. They like to be right, and they like for people to think they're right. And they don't like to be crossed up in anything. That's more a tendency and spirit of our day than it has been in times past. But it's very prevalent today. Just don't try to tell me anything. But the Word of God wants to tell you and me something. And when you're off course, the Word of God will set you on course. When the spaceship went to the moon, every so often they'd have a course-correcting firing, a little engine in there that they'd fire. If they were veering off course a little bit, they'd fire this engine and set them back on course. Well, that was very necessary when they were going that many thousands of miles. They could miss the mark way under if they got to veering a little bit. And they'd get instructions from Houston down here that they were angling a little off course, and they'd fire this engine and set them back on course. That's what God's Word will do for you and me. Just a little variation, carried far enough, will wander way off course. But God will be faithful to you and me if we will faithfully peruse the pages of His Word and correct us in our course and keep us in line. This is all a built-in, right in the Word of God and all handily within reach of every one of us. To just look in God's Word and open our hearts and minds to God's Word and let it correct us. I remember talking with my brother about salvation. I was trying to get him saved. He was in a dying condition with cancer of the throat. Did die a short time after I visited him. I said, Arvid, I remember hearing you say one time, I'm a soldier, and I don't ask help from anybody. Well, he said that in conversation, and he'd been a soldier, and I guess they kind of learned that. I said, now you certainly don't apply that to God, do you? He said, oh, no, no. He said, he's the only one to look to. But we don't like for people to try to correct us. We kind of resent that. We oughtn't to do it. We ought to welcome correction from whatever source it comes. But somehow or other, we kind of get an idea, well, I'm just smart as you are, and I don't want you telling me anything. And we don't ask help from anybody, but we don't want to get any thoughts like that about God and about His Word. God's Word will correct us if we'll just open our hearts to God's Word. His Word will correct us. Then He said, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. And every one of us need this. We may not know it. We may not think we do. But I dare say every one of us, and you too, preacher, need this instruction in righteousness. And how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has His Word so constructed and so set up that it'll furnish you and me to every good work. Everything that's good, God's Word will be right in harmony with it. Then the solemn charge that Paul gives to Timothy, preach the Word. And then why he instructed him, so strictly charged him to preach the Word. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It was important to get the people well grounded in the Word, in the truth, because the time was going to come when that wouldn't be popular. I can say now, Paul had said it would come, but I can say now it has come. It's here now. When people will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and will be turned away from the truth and turned to fables. That's here now. We're living in that time right now. And if we don't watch, it'll make inroads right in among us. That sound doctrine to us will sound like fanaticism, extremism. People call it that sometimes. People that sit right in the congregation of the saints, they'll talk about this one and that one being fanatic. And God wants you and me to be well versed in His Word. Know what His Word says. Have our hearts open to His Word. And know what His Word will do in our lives and what it is doing in our lives. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now Jesus has promised to be with the church and with you individually as His child, accepting the responsibility for your care. He has promised that to the end of the world. But it is contingent on the fact that we teach people to observe all things. God wants His Word preached. He wants it all preached. And He doesn't want anything but His Word preached. God does not want the pulpit dealing in generalities. And in things of social interest. One man told me that where he went to church, he said, our preacher hasn't read a passage or quoted a scripture from the Bible in more than 2 years. Well, that shocked me. I said, well, what does he preach? Oh, he preaches science and things of social interest and history and things that are going on in the world of common interest to the people. That's what he preaches. God doesn't want the pulpit dealing in generalities and in science and in things of social interest. He wants God's Word being put forth from the pulpit. Teaching them to observe all things. He wants all the Word, nothing but the Word, dealt with in the pulpit and taught to the people. He said in the 4th chapter of Matthew in verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, it's going to take it all. We're going to have to open our hearts to all of God's Word. We have no option. It isn't left up to us to choose what parts of it we like and what we don't like. And what we will believe and what we won't believe. But man lives by every word of God. By the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's our life. We may not know all the Word of God. We may not understand all that we know. But the attitude of our heart is what is important. And God wants you and me standing definitely committed in our heart to every principle of truth taught in the New Testament, what we know and what we don't know. And as He reveals to us the things we don't know, we accept that and live by that too. Man lives by every word of God. Let us consider how God values His Word. In the 138th Psalm and verse 2, He says, Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name. God's Word's important to Him. Then you can depend on God standing by His Word. He wants you and me like that too. He wants us standing by His Word, and He wants us backing up our own Word. When our Word goes out, that's it. He says in His Word that those who abide in the tabernacle of the Lord, among other things, one of the things was, he that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. When your Word goes out, that should be it. When you commit yourself, you should stand right back of that. Maybe it'll hurt you. But you've committed yourself. Stand by it anyway. God has magnified His Word above all His name. Well, all right, what does God think of His name? How does He value it? In the 111th Psalm, verse 9, He says, holy and reverend is His name. The only place in the entire Holy Scriptures that the word reverend is mentioned, it's ascribed to God, not to man. Holy and reverend is His name. In Isaiah 9 and 6, He says, His name shall be called Wonderful. God honors His name. The name of Jesus is a wonderful name. In Exodus 20 and verse 7, He says, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And He proceeds further to say that the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh His name in vain. God honors His name. The fourth chapter of Acts in verse 12, He says, There's no other name given under heaven, nor among men, whereby we can be saved. The name of Jesus is the only name through which salvation can come to us. These scriptures, and many more, give us an idea of what God thinks of His name. His name's important. Your name should be important to you. God's Word says a good name is better to be chosen than much riches. A good name. We ought to be diligent to keep our names clear. But God honors His name. Will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, but he says he's magnified his word above all that. God honors his word, and he says not one word of all of his good promises has ever failed. When God said anything, it happened. He backed it up. And when God's prophets, under divine inspiration, said anything, He said He never let one word they spoke fall to the ground. God backs up His word when He speaks it, and He backs up His word when His prophets speak it. He values His word. It's important. It's dependable. You and I can depend on God's Word. And it's important that we keep that in mind. In facing up to God and dealing with God, we can depend on His Word. Magnified His Word above all of His name. Now, God doesn't want His word tampered with over here in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. In verse 18, said, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add anything unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. God doesn't want his word dabbled with. He said in his word that it was not of any private interpretation. And he spoke about people wresting the Holy Scriptures to their own destruction. When we begin to twist God's Word and try to make it fit what we want it to fit and wrest it from its proper meaning, we're on the road to destruction. Now he says, don't add to it, don't take from it. God doesn't want us going beyond to the point of extremism in anything. teaching and binding on people things that God's Word doesn't teach and bind on them. Neither does He want us letting up on God's Word and relieving the people's obligation and duty to come up to certain standards that God's Word sets. Taking nothing from it, adding nothing to it. I remember a song that they used to sing years ago. 45 years ago, I guess, I sang this song some. Says, some doubters are trying God's Word to revise. Don't just leave it alone, just leave it alone. No longer this line or that passage they prize. Don't change it, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone, 'tis God's holy word, whose Son did for evil atone. Each word and each line tells of goodness divine. Don't change it, just leave it alone. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, in the 19th verse, he says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. God's word hadn't changed from the time of the Jerusalem church. And the prophecies haven't changed from the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel and those men back there. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and it's not fixing to change now. Somebody said we had to interpret the Scriptures up to date according to modern conditions. I challenge that idea. God's Word has not changed. People change, conditions change, but God's Word will keep you and me on course right along. And it doesn't change with the changing of time. Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now those are the most permanent things we know of, aren't they? Do we know of anything more permanent than this earth? And more solid? And as long as we've been living here, we've viewed the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars in the heavens, and they're going forever just the same. But Jesus said they'll pass away. Kind of hard for us to grasp that when all of our lifetime we've just seen them go on and they're just the same as they were when we came here. But He said they will pass away, but My Word will not pass away. God's Word is the only sure, steadfast, and solid thing that there is. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in the 19th verse, He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Listen, what's Peter saying here? Just before this, he has rehearsed the experience in the Mount of Transfiguration. Said, we heard the voice and we beheld His glory. It was revealed to us in the Holy Mount. Peter, James, and John were up there with Him in the Holy Mount. And He was transfigured before them. They witnessed all of this. And they heard God's voice saying, this is My beloved Son, hear Him. Moses and Elias had been there, and Peter, lacking something to say, he just said, let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses, and one for Elias, and one for Jesus. But while he yet spake, a bright cloud over them overshadowed them, and God spake to them out of that cloud and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." We're not to hear Moses and the prophets anymore. We're to hear Jesus. The new covenant's in effect now. The old covenant has served its time, and Jesus took away the first that he might establish the second. And it's God's word in the New Testament that sets the course for our lives today. The biggest part of the modern religious world is living and teaching Old Testament experience. And that's just as far as they know to teach. But we're to hear Jesus. And we're under the new covenant. And we're to hear God's words and instructions provided under grace, by which we are to live today. John 10:35, Jesus said, "The scripture cannot be broken." And in order that the scripture be fulfilled, Jesus just went right on through with some real hard things. And when they came out to arrest him, and Peter started a fight, drew his sword, cut off a man's ear, started a fight, Jesus said, "Put up your sword." Said, "Don't you know that even now I could call on my Father, and presently there would be more than 12 legions of angels sent to my assistance, and I wouldn't be delivered into the hands of these men? But then how would the scripture be fulfilled?" The scripture had to be fulfilled. It could not be broken. It is sure and steadfast. And you and I will do well to plant our feet upon it and put our faith in it and believe in it for our salvation and for all the blessings that we desire and ever get from God. Just believe in His Word. Stand on His Word. The 7th chapter of Matthew, verses 28 and 29, Jesus has just concluded his Sermon on the Mount. And without controversy, the Sermon on the Mount was the greatest sermon ever preached. And you just live in the Sermon on the Mount, and it'll keep you on course. It'll straighten you out in anything you need straightening out in. It's all right there. Every element, every principle of divine truth that pertains to your life is right there in the Sermon on the Mount. And verse 28 says, "It came to pass when he had ended these sayings that they were astonished at his doctrine." Why? Because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now the people were used to the scribes and didn't pay too much attention to them. They didn't speak with much authority anyway. But here was a man with some authority. And he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus had authority. When he spoke his word, it was spoken with authority. And the people recognized the authority. They knew there was something different between him and the scribes that they were accustomed to listening to. And they were astonished at it. In the 7th chapter of John, verse 46, in this case, the chief priests and the rulers have sent out a detachment of people, soldiers or somebody, to bring Jesus in. They wanted him to be brought before them. Well, they went out there and they heard Jesus teaching a little bit. And they just turned around and came back without him. And those that sent them said, "Where is he? Haven't you brought him?" Well, they never said yea, nay, or what. They just said, "Never man spake like this man." We never heard anybody speak like him, and we just wouldn't lay hands on him. He spoke with authority. In the 8th chapter of Matthew in verse 8, this is where the centurion had come to Jesus to heal his servant. He reported to him, "My servant lieth at home, sick." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him," and just turned and started with him. The man said, "No, don't you come to my house. I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. But you just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Then he proceeded to say, "I'm a man under authority. I know what a word from one in authority means. I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, come, and he cometh, and to that man, go, and he goeth, and to this man, do this, and he doeth it. I give orders, and people obey my orders because I have authority." What's he saying? This is what he's saying. "I recognize you, Jesus, as a man of authority. And whatever you say, your word's going to be respected. Your word will be obeyed just like my commands are obeyed by those that are under me. You just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." And we have a scripture, and I don't know where it is right now. I couldn't give you chapter and verse for this or just put my finger on it, but he says he sent his word and healed them. Just sent his word. That is all that's necessary. That he just spoke his word, sent it to where the sick were, and healed them. This centurion recognized the authority that Jesus had. "I'm a man under authority, and my word's obeyed. I recognize you to be a man under authority, and your word will be obeyed." And you just speak the word, and that's all that's necessary. Oh, if we could just get that perspective. If we could just get a hold of that and stand on that and by faith make that effective and working in our hearts and lives, we could receive many blessings, miraculous blessings from the hand of the Lord. Paul said in Romans, the 1st chapter, in verse 16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel of Christ, God's word, is the power of God unto salvation, and that's the greatest power there is. There's no greater miracle ever been wrought than the transformation of a sinner to a saint. And saving the soul from sin and delivering us out of the kingdom of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of God's dear Son is the greatest miracle that's ever been wrought. the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We have a text in the 4th chapter of Hebrews in verse 2 that said, but the word preached says, unto them was the gospel preached as well as unto us. But the word preached unto them did not profit them that heard it. We've just discussed a little bit the profitableness of God's word and what it's profitable for. And now he says it's the power of God unto salvation. But here's a people that it didn't profit. Think of that. God's word profitable to everything. The man of God through it can be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can be saved through believing it. The greatest miracle of all time. But it didn't profit some folks. Why? He said it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. But to those who didn't have faith, it didn't profit them. It didn't save them. It didn't benefit them in any kind of a way. All the benefit was there. The ingredients were there. It was a built-in, handily available to everybody, but they just didn't believe it. Now, we have some chemical substances that as long as they're separated and standing alone by themselves, they're entirely inactive. It wouldn't hurt a thing. The atomic bomb is composed of elements which, when separated, they won't do anything. They're entirely inactive, but compound them together under a certain formula, and they're capable of immense destruction. God's word has the power and elements of salvation in it. But it's entirely inactive, standing alone by itself. There must be some faith mixed with it. And as we receive God's word, if it finds faith in our souls, it'll go to work. And it'll go to work in a powerful way. But if it isn't mixed with faith, it'll be entirely inactive and produce no results. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. 4th chapter of Hebrews in verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of men's hearts. God's word is a powerful word. But taken without faith, it has no power in us. Maybe the person sitting right by your side will receive the same word and he'll have faith in his heart and it'll work miraculous works in his life. And you sit right there by the side of that person, hear the same word, but you're lacking in faith and you'll not be profited by God's word. It's quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And I know God's word's that way. But now my prayer is, And I want you to back up my prayer with your agreement. My prayer is that when I speak it, it'll be that way. When my ministering brethren speak it, it'll be that way. It'll be that way in our mouths. Quick and powerful. Sharp. And discern the thoughts and intents of men's hearts. Amen.